Welcome to Compliance Perspectives. I'm Courtney Nordrum from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics. I'm here in Prague on site at our European Compliance and Ethics Institute. And joining me today is Caroline Haley, who's a compliance and ethics professional based in Paris, France, and Cecilia Gunkel, who is the owner and manager of Compliance for Good. She's a consultant. I initially asked Caroline to join me to talk about the new French anti-corruption law, but she managed, in her networking skills here at the conference, to find another subject matter expert from France to join us. So welcome to the podcast, ladies.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Before we start talking about the new law, how did each of you get into compliance? And I'll start with you, Caroline.
Sure. So I'm originally from the U.S., and I graduated law school, joined a firm in New York, and was asked to transfer to the Paris office for what was supposed to be a two-year gig, but I'm still there almost 9 years later. So I slowly moved into compliance after the financial crisis with the wave of new regulations in the financial industry, and spent some time in-house at a financial services company, and I'm now working at a French major energy company.
Cecilia, how did you find yourself in compliance?
So a little bit like Caroline, basically, I started as a lawyer in France. I worked for Baker McKenzie, and one of my clients actually wanted me to work with them on compliance. And it was a company, American company, working on medical device. So I started working on compliance matters in 2008, almost 10 years. And then after that, the company got purchased by a large American group, and I decided to set up my own organization, my own consultancy, and worked a lot in healthcare. Lots of things happening in France in healthcare, and now I'm working more and more for companies outside of the healthcare industry.
As I mentioned before, Caroline was speaking today on France's new anti-corruption law called Loi Sapin-2, and I don't speak French, but both of them do, so they can pronounce it much better than I do. I apologize to all of our French listeners. Why is that an important area for compliance officers all over the world to learn about?
Well, I guess for a number of reasons, really. I think the first reason is that you see that a lot of countries are modernizing their national legislative frameworks on corruption in order to bring them in line with what the U.S. and the U.K. are doing. So I think the Loi Sapin-2 reflects that sort of movement towards greater focus on compliance within anti-corruption. Mm-hmm. So that's one reason. And I think it's also of interest because there are a lot of companies that will be affected by it. It's companies, the scope of the law, it will apply in two circumstances. The first circumstance is for a French company with at least 500 employees and over 100 million euros in revenues. And it also applies to French subsidiaries of non-French companies whose parent companies fulfill the same criteria. So there are a lot of French companies that are already subject to compliance rules and regulations because they're operating in many countries. There are a fair number of small and medium-sized French companies that will be viewing some of these questions for the first time.
And also it's important from a French perspective, because France, as most of you may know, has been severely criticized over a number of years for not the low level of the law. The criminal law is very sophisticated in the text, however, the very low enforcement of those laws. So it's also very important for France to show that it has reached a sufficient level in terms of protection against corruption, and also important for France to protect its own companies from judicial attacks, let's say, from other countries.
When does the law go into effect?
So the law goes into effect in June of 2017. The law was passed, I should say, in November of 2016, but the law requires that implementing decrees be published in order to provide further clarity on how the law will apply in practice. So some of those decrees have been published. We're still waiting for other implementing decrees. So the process is ongoing, I would say, but the law does go into effect later this year.
What are the key aspects that we're looking at with the new anti-corruption law?
So there's four main aspects. The first one is this new law creates an obligation for companies of a certain size, more than 100 million euro in terms of turnover and more than 500 employees, to implement a anti-corruption program in order to detect and prevent corruption. And not only corruption, actually, what we call influence peddling, the two aspects. And then there's another obligation, another aspect of the law is also that it creates a new agency, which is called the French Anti-Corruption Agency, which has received an interesting, pretty high budget and has, we'll talk about it later, but has quite clear objectives as to how it's going to implement the new law. Another aspect is a French DPA, French Deferred Prosecution Agreement type of arrangement. And fourth, the new law actually clarifies the status of the whistleblower.
Okay. So with the requirement to build a compliance program, what are we looking at? What's the landscape? What are compliance professionals going to be obligated to do?
So the program... requirements are actually quite prescriptive, and I suppose this is a bit of a departure from what we see in other countries, but you can see that the movement toward compliance is becoming more and more encoded, I guess, into law. And so the loi Sapin II provides for 8 different criteria that need to be reflected within a compliance program. The first is a code of conduct with disciplinary procedures for dealing with violations, a mechanism for receiving and treating alerts from whistleblowers and a way of protecting their status, a risk mapping exercise, which is known as the cartographie of risk mapping, due diligence procedures, procedures for ensuring that the company's books and records do not conceal corruption, training for employees and officers, and internal audit procedures. So, like I said, the requirements are quite prescriptive, and companies and directors may be sanctioned by the AFA, the new French anti-corruption agency, if they fail to implement adequate procedures.
One thing that's interesting to note is the first is that the law imposes this requirement on the managers of the company. And the second thing is that when we look at the code of conduct, some read this new obligation as referring to charter of ethics and having a code of conduct, like a really basic with all the values of the company. But when you look at the law, it is really all around anti-corruption.
Really?
Which we would understand as compliance professional more as a procedure, an anti-corruption procedure than a general code of ethics or charter of ethics.
They want a prescriptive program and versus just a code.
Right, and very targeted around anti-corruption. Not all the values of the companies, as you'd
just
find
in the... Just anti-corruption.
Yes. Oh. Yeah.
That is a fair difference between what we've seen before required in codes.
Exactly. So those are the key elements of the requirements of the compliance program. The law also creates the new French anti-corruption agency.
So this is being created out of nothing. So nothing exists currently, and they've created this new anti-corruption agency.
Well, it's not that nothing exists currently. It's just that the law takes the opportunity to sort of reinforce the current framework. And so there is a current agency known as the SCPC. The AFA will replace the SCPC, and it will have greater resources in terms of staffing, in terms of budget. It will also have greater administrative powers. And it will have as its head an investigating judge, a juge d'instruction, which focuses the approach, I would say, in terms of enforcement.
So this director has just been freshly nominated, has apparently worked on a number of cases, anti-money laundering cases against banks. So we can expect a certain level of expertise from the agency. The agency is currently in the process of recruiting 70 agents. They have a pretty high, pretty comfortable budget for a starting agency. They have, if we compare with the French antitrust agency that's been in place for many years, they have the agency against corruption in France now has a budget that is twice the amount per agent of what we have on antitrust. And so the director has been saying that 70 is good number, is important for an agency that hasn't done any work yet, that's his words, but it's also not so many for given the task at hand. And what we know is that there are going to be 2 sub-directions, and one revolving around recommendation, advice, and also the international aspect of corruption. Mm-hmm. And the second subdivision is going to be around control, investigation. And that second part is going to be the most staffed. So we're going to have 42 members of this agency. So we, based on what we heard Mr. Duchesne, the new director, what we heard him say, there's going to be a strong focus on control and investigation.
What kind of power is the AFA going to have?
So the AFA is an administrative agency. It will not have the power to prosecute, but it will have the power to issue administrative sanctions.
Civil power.
Exactly, and to also administer audits. Responsibility for criminal prosecution will stay within the procureur, so the French prosecutor's office.
You mentioned earlier, and we talked about earlier, the addition of the concept of DPA, deferred prosecution agreements, with this new law. What is that going to look like? Or what do you anticipate?
It's designed to replicate the U.S. Deferred Prosecution Agreement. And the idea is that a company, in certain circumstances, can settle a criminal allegation by agreeing to pay a fine, administer a 3-year monitorship to get its compliance program in place, and also an indemnification of any potential victims. And this is modeled to a fair degree after the US-style DPA. It will allow a company to avoid having a criminal record, a casier judiciaire, which is obviously very important because that can trigger other consequences for a company.
We heard, again, to quote what we heard from the director of the agency, that this DPA allows companies to be sanctioned, yes, but without recognizing their fact that they have been guilty of the actions, and to leave the companies alone in a way. But he mentioned that there would be a possibility then for the authorities in France to go against individuals.
So there may be some individual liability tied to this.
Yes, one, the DPA would not prevent the French judicial system to go after individuals.
Does the current system go after individuals?
On paper, yes, because it's the code. Again, it really has, and we have everything in the code. Everything is written. However, the actual enforcement of this code has not been very efficient, specifically regarding corruption outside of the French borders.
We also mentioned that one of the key aspects of the law is that there will be enhanced or reinforced whistleblower protection. What can that look like? What will that look like?
For the moment, we still need to understand exactly how it's going to look like. And the law provides certain type of reporting within the company and certain safeguards, so not everybody can go outside of the company and reveal some facts. And the concept of non-retaliation is now in the law, and it's sanctioned. Retaliation will be sanctioned up to 30,000 euros. One thing to note about this whistleblowing framework is that the law, the loi Sapin, actually creates two different types of whistleblowing channels. There's one relating only to the code of conduct and one more general one. So companies will have a little bit of a headache trying to harmonize these various requirements and have a reporting line that's conform to the law.
So some companies may have two reporting lines.
Yes.
With all of these key considerations and with all of the new information coming out, what are the best practices that each of you are recommending, both as an in-house advisor and as a consultant?
I would suppose it would be useful for companies to review the application criteria to see if their company falls within the scope of the loi Sapin, and if it does, to review the 8 criteria that we talked about and perhaps do a gap analysis to see how does their current program compare to the French requirements, or maybe it's a company that doesn't have a program yet in place. And in that case, the prospect of implementing a program might seem a little bit burdensome, but you know, it starts with tone of the top. It starts with getting senior management involved. So even if we're still waiting for the implementing decrees to a fair extent, that doesn't prevent companies from getting compliance on the agenda of their board, getting their management to speak about it, and beginning this reflection, I would say, within the company to see how will the company put these principles in place.
Some of the companies might be in a little bit of a difficult situation because the law requires all those tools we mentioned to be in place by June. On the other hand, we are still waiting for some of these interpretative decrees. So it would be important for companies to, while waiting for some of these interpretation, to start on what's required from them, the risk assessment, and then which would be the first step. Start with the risk assessment. It's not written clearly in the law, but we know it's important to start with the risk assessment and
always
then prepare your code of conduct on corruption based on what you uncovered as part of the risk assessment. So that would be an important advice to start now and maybe wait to fine-tune the approach based on what we will receive in terms of decrees.
What are some resources that you would recommend for compliance officers to stay abreast of what's coming up with the new decrees and how to adequately prepare for the new law in June?
I think there are several resources. One is the compliance community. So it's important for compliance officers to reach out through organizations like the SCCE, but also there are French organizations that are focused on compliance, and to also reach out to compliance officers in other companies to benchmark your program. I've met with several different representatives of different companies, and I think that everyone is in an information sharing and information gathering phase right now. So I would say start there. Start with the resources that you have around you, your existing contacts, and try to get a sense of what companies that may be subject to international requirements for many years have put in place.
One of these association, compliance association existing in France, we can mention the Cercle de la Compliance, which is very active with respect to all these questions. It's also interesting to note that the AFA, this new agency, is really interested in reaching out to the community, the industry and the companies in order to understand what's in place, because the agency has a role to play in terms of advising and giving recommendation to the community. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is companies should really look for best practices outside of France. There's so many things written about all these topics. Risk assessment is a fantastic tool that's been put together by the UN, another one, a fantastic tool put together by Transparency International. So definitely we can use those tools. The director of the agency mentioned that he will certainly look at what is existing in the UK and in the US in order to not reinvent the wheel. So we can definitely know that we are safe using those standards.
Caroline and Cecilia, I want to thank you very much for taking time out of your schedule at the ECEI to join me to talk about loi SAPEN 2.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you.